if I had one sermon that was my last sermon or the only sermon I could ever preach, I would preach on this subject. Britton does music a couple of weeks in advance, so I didn't put all of this together, but I could retitle my sermon today, Jesus, only Jesus. Main subject of the Bible from cover to cover is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament predicts him. The New Testament presents him. Old Testament anticipates him. New Testament announces him. You come to the book of Colossians. Paul's writing this book to the Colossians because the Gnostics had infiltrated this church and they were teaching that God was not the creator of the world. They believed that Jesus was nothing unique. He was not Savior. He was not Lord. And you could just make your own way to heaven and your own way to God. Listen, John chapter 14, verse 6, there is one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So Paul writes this letter to refute these teachings and to inform them that Jesus is first, that Jesus is only, that Jesus is supreme. If you got him, you're good. And if you don't have him, it doesn't matter what you have. You're lost and you're helpless and you're hopeless. Three facts about the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Sermon I'm entitling, My Jesus. First truth, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus and his person, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The word image means a precise copy or an exact reproduction. The word was used to speak of the head of a ruler that would be minted on a coin. Much like our coins in this day, they would put the emperor's image on their coins. Paul is saying, Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father. You remember Jesus told the woman at the well in John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, because God is a spirit, it follows that he's immaterial. It follows that he's invisible. A spirit being exists in a dimension that is beyond our comprehension and beyond what we can grasp. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who bring the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. So before the birth of Christ, no man had ever seen God at any time. And then God wrapped up in human form the person of Jesus and gave us the representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So have we seen God? Yes, through Jesus. Imagine trying to describe a person that you've never seen. But if they give you a very specific, perfect, lifelike portrait, then you can describe him. Such is the case of God. Do you want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus, because Jesus was 100% God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says, For in him, Jesus, dwells the fullness of God, of the Godhead bodily. So Jesus was not half God. Jesus was not three-fourths God. Jesus was not 99.9% God. Jesus was and is and always will be 100% completely God in every shape and form. He is the image, the representation of God Almighty. Can somebody say amen this morning? Woo! Got to amen my own sermons. John 14, verse 9. Jesus said, If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now look at that verse 15 again. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. Firstborn means first in position. It means first in rank. Jesus is the absolute first. Firstborn of all creation does not mean that Jesus is a created being himself. It means prior to everything. Prior to the sun, moon, and stars. Prior to light. Prior to anything, Jesus existed. Jesus existed before the universe came into existence. Look at verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. If Jesus were a created being, he would have had to create himself, because by him, Jesus, all things consist. They all came from Jesus, and he was before all of them. When the Bible talks about God being invisible, it's more than just you can't see him. It carries the idea that he's inaccessible. Man, this fires me up. It carries the idea that he's unapproachable. It carries the idea that he is unknowable. That means you can't approach God. That means you have no access to God. That means you have no way of knowing God. That means you have no way of seeing God. He is totally accessible to you. And then Jesus came into the world. Woo! Come on. I know we're in a Baptist church, but it's all right to shout a little bit. Then Jesus came into the world and made the invisible God visible. The unapproachable God approachable. The inaccessible God accessible. And now, it's not that we can't know him, we can't see him, we can't approach him. Woo! Hallelujah! We can come into the Holy of Holies, not by Neil Jackson, not by the Baptist denomination, but by the Lord Jesus Christ. That should make some Baptist people say, amen. Matthew 11, verse 27 says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Outside of Jesus Christ, everything is a guess about God. A lot of good people in the world. The Hindus won't leave you to God. Jehovah's Witnesses will not leave you to God. The whatever it is, the Baptist will not leave you to God. Jesus and Jesus alone leads you to God. Amen? Jesus and his person. Secondly, notice, Jesus and his power. Verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. The Gnostics did not believe this. Jesus Christ is the creator of everything that we know. The Gnostics did not believe this. Now think about our universe. Our universe is huge. The diameter of just the sun, 864,000 miles. You could take 100, you could take 1.3 million of our planet Earth and put them inside the sun. Sun's a big old place. It takes sunlight traveling at 186,000 miles per second, 8.5 minutes to get to Earth. Traveling at the speed of light. The same light traveling at the same speed would take 4 years to reach the closest star, Alpha Centauri, which is 24 trillion miles away. Our Milky Way galaxy contains hundreds of billions of stars. Astronomers estimate that there are billions, with a B, of galaxies. What they can see leads them to estimate that the number of stars, 10 to the 25th power. You say, what is 10 to the 25th power? Here's what it is. How many stars do we have? They estimate, to their best knowledge, by what they can see, 10 to the 25th power. Well, illustrate that. If you would take every grain of sand on every beach all over the world, that would be 10 to the 25th power. Look back at the verse. For by him were all things created. They didn't just happen. They didn't just evolve. They didn't just some bang. Behind our world's existence, there is a mastermind. Behind our world's existence, there is a creator. And good news, his name is Jesus. And this creator, he loves you. Verse 17, and he is before all things. By him, all things consist. It means by him, all things are held together. By him, all things cohere. It comes from the word we derive, adhesive. Jesus is not only the creator of all things, Jesus is the controller of all things. The world is not just merely held together by its own power. If that were the case, we would be in a whole lot of trouble. But it's held together by his power. You know where to get off on saying that. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express interest of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. You say, how does that happen? Jesus says to the earth, earth turn, and the earth turns. Jesus says to the stars, star, I want you to fall, and the star falls. Life can only exist in a very narrow margin of temperature. If we were to get a little bit hotter for a little bit longer, our whole earth would be like the Sahara Desert. If we were to get a little bit cooler for a little bit longer, our whole earth would be a frozen Arctic. Someone set the thermostat. You know who that someone is? It's Jesus. All things are controlled by him. Jesus controls the world now, just like he did when he was on planet Earth. He would look at water, and he would look at it, and it would turn to wine. Loaves and fishes would be multiplied when he touched them. Raging seas would calm when he spoke to them. Rolling waves would become pavement when he walked on them. An unbroken colt would submit peacefully when he sat upon it. Why? Because all things are controlled by him. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. This world is held together by its creator. His name is Jesus. What is true of this universe is also true of you, and it's also true of our families. The only one who can control and hold our world together is Jesus. And the only one that can hold and control your life and hold it together is Jesus. The only one that can hold our families together is Jesus. Had someone to come and talk to me this week. Come in, he told me his problems. He said, but you know what my real problem is? I'm supposed to be the counselor here. I said, what's your real problem? He said, Jesus. I said, how's Jesus your real problem? He said, he's not in my right place. I said, I would agree. I said, what are you going to do about that? He said, I'm putting him in my right place. I said, this is the easiest counseling session I've ever had. Because Jesus, if he's in control, it's all going to be all right. And if he's not in control, it's all going to fall apart. You ask, why is this so important? When Jesus is taken out of any scenario, it always falls apart. Why is our world falling apart? We're not being controlled by Jesus. Why is our schools falling apart? They're not being controlled by Jesus. Why is our government falling apart? It's not being controlled by Jesus. Why is your marriage falling apart? You say, now you're getting close to home. Because your marriage, you, mom, you, dad, are not being controlled by Jesus. Look back at the verse one more time. Romans 11, verse 36, where they have it on the screen. Of him, through him, and those next three words, and to him. Think about a king, one of the emperors of yesteryear, or one of the pharaohs of yesteryear. They build a kingdom. Palaces, armies, laws, all decreed by themselves and for their reign. Think about Jesus. He's the supreme king. He created the stars. He created the mountains. He created the oceans. He created you. Angels, thrones, dominions. They were fashioned by Jesus. Now listen, in the Pharaoh's time and in the emperor's time, they were made for him. Do you know why worlds were created and why the stars were created and why you were created? For, that's what the verse says, and to him. So you're not created to glorify you. You were created to glorify him. Your marriage wasn't created to make you happy. Your marriage was created to make him happy. Yeah, we want to have kids because we want... You don't create kids for you. You create kids to bring up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's how you train them. Number two, Jesus and his power. Let me give you one more. Jesus and his preeminence. Look at verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, if you write in your Bible, circle those two things, that in all things he might have the preeminence. But let's work through the verse. He is the head of the body. It was an administrative term. One who has the ultimate authority. Everything about your body is directed by your head. Who governs the church? Jesus. He leads the church, directs the church, guides the church. Churches today need to realize who's in charge. Church is not a monarchy ruled by the pastor. Not an oligarchy ruled by the deacons. Not a democracy ruled by the people. The church is a Christocracy ruled by Jesus. So I don't have a say, quite honestly, and you don't have a say, and the deacons don't have a say. We come and we bow down on our knees and say, Jesus, this is your church that you shed your blood for. What do you want us to do? Until you figure out who is in charge of the church will never be what God intended for it to be. Why are there so many problems in churches? Because they don't realize who's in charge. Preacher's not in charge doing it his way. Deacon's not in charge trying to ramrod their way. People's not going to charge trying to... We all come together and we submit to the Lordship of Christ. Notice what it says in the verse. He is the firstborn. Now this is good here. Firstborn from the dead. It means not only is he the head of the church, he's the risen head of the church. You say, why does that matter? He died. He was buried. Hallelujah. He rose again. That means he possesses resurrection life. This is what puts life into a dead church. You say, why do you get so fired up when you come to church? Because it's about Jesus. Because it's about the resurrected Christ. And hey, pardon my grammar, he ain't dead. Woo! If he ain't dead, neither should our singing. Neither should our preaching. Neither should our testifying.
neither should our teaching, neither should our, it all should be alive because Jesus is alive. Amen. The church is alive and on fire when Jesus is in charge. But you put that preacher in charge and he's doing it his way. Put those deacons in charge. We're doing it their way. Put those people. Oh, God, God, I want this. None of us are getting what we want. We're all bowing down at the Lord Jesus and saying, Jesus, only Jesus, he's the one that matters. And the resurrected Lord comes into those D groups. And he comes into those Bible studies. And he comes into those Sunday school classes. And he comes into those youth groups. And you know what? The juniors, they get hankies and they say, we love our Jesus. And the teenagers, they start waving their hands because Jesus is alive. Amen. Look at verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That in all things, he might have the preeminence. Jesus is to be in first place, the highest rank, the only one that matters in everything. In church life, in home life, in personal life, you put Jesus in your business and make him preeminent, your business is going to flourish. You put Jesus in your home and your home and your children are going to... No, Jesus, not my opinion. It's your opinion. You put Jesus in government. Why are they wanting to kick Jesus out of government? You put Jesus in the nastiest government situation. Government begins to flourish. And you say, what does preeminence mean? I'm going to show you a couple ways. Let me show you a bad way. 2 John chapter 3, verse 9. They're going to put it on the screen. I wrote unto you, unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have, you see that word? The preeminence among them, received us not. So you had a scoundrel in this church named Diotrephes that wanted to have the preeminence. He wanted to be first. He wanted to get his way. He elevated himself against the church, tried to get John excommunicated from the church. What did Diotrephes want? Well, my way. You're not going to do it my way. I'm going to pout. Stick out my lip. As far as I can stick it, I'm just going to be an old grouch. That was Diotrephes. His way, his will, his preferences, his wants, his wishes, his whims. John calls him out. I'm writing to the church. Diotrephes, it's all about him. It's not about me. Not about me getting my way. Not about you getting your way. It's about Jesus getting his way. Guys, put the picture up on the screen. Leonardo da Vinci painted The Last Supper. You should read about it. Go home and Google about it. Just the hours and the intricacy that he put into painting The Last Supper. A friend came and visited the portrait as he was finishing up with it. And he made this statement. That cup that Jesus is holding is beautiful. You put such precision and such detail into that cup. You know what Da Vinci did? You got the picture there. You know what Da Vinci did? He painted it out, and he said this. He said this. It makes me cry. Nothing must distract from the master. And if a simple cup distracts from you seeing Jesus, I'm getting rid of the cup. When you come to Beulah Baptist Church, we don't want you to get tied up with us. We don't want you to get distracted by our ties. We don't want you to get distracted by anything. We want to sing about Jesus. We want to teach about Jesus. We want to testify about Jesus. We want to get fired up about Jesus because when you get to heaven and you come to those pearly gates, You know what they're going to ask you? Why should I let you in? And the correct answer, Jesus. One of the favorite parts of Vacation Bible School is offering time. Now, we've been doing this long, long, long time. Long time before Neil Jackson got around, they were doing offering time in Vacation Bible School. We have the boys, who always seem to lose. And we have the girls, who know how to get to their grandpa's heart. And the girls, usually, 7 out of 8 years, the girls are going to pound the boys. Old-fashioned scale. Look back at the verse when we're done. Verse 18. He's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Let's say this. Boys, stars, mountains, beaches, thrones, dominions, powers, every president, every ruler, every king, every house, every vehicle, every cent of every dollar, you put it on this side. And the boys, these boys get fired up. Yeah, boys are rule. Boys are going to win. Boys, 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 boys. Woo, boys. And the girls come. And they put Jesus. You know what's going to happen? I didn't mean for that to happen. Randy, hand me that. Bring that to me. I got one more part of this illustration. Thank you. Let's get a little bit closer to home. Forgive me, boys. I can't do that again, so we're just hard up. Your life. What has preeminence in your life? What do you love? What do you get fired up about? What do you think about and think about and think about? The hobbies? The positions? Don't go spiritual. Don't be talking about your ties. We're talking about practical. Look at that checkbook. Look at that schedule the last 7 days. What's getting the most of your attention and the most of your affection? Put it in this bucket. And then, how much is Jesus, how much of the preeminence is he getting in your life? If stuff is winning, you're losing. If Jesus, I can't do it again. If Jesus is winning, you're winning. That in all things. That in all things. That in all things. He might have the preeminence.